for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Spring Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, April the 18th, 2014. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on the spirit of rejection.
All right, Sister Jerry, please come. Bless the Lord. Bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that even if I say it wrong, they'll get it right because of your power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. Yes. Bring to my remembrance everything you said, Lord. We commit our way to you. You said our thoughts will be established. So establish our thoughts, Lord. Lord, we want only one thing in all of our lives, be glorified. That's what we want, Lord. So we ask that through this message, you will be glorified. In Jesus' name. Well, this is a message entitled, The Spirit of Rejection. How many of you have ever been rejected? Anybody not been rejected? I think that's something that has fit all of us. But rejection is an evil principality, and it's over a lot of lesser demons, and he's out to eat our lunch and destroy us. The principality of rejection is an evil spirit that rules over many lesser spirits. Lots of fears that come with rejection. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of not being loved, fear of not being liked, fear of not being perfect, fear of doing it wrong, fear of not looking good. Fear, fear, fear. And you could name 100,000 others. Fear of being blamed. You see, if you grew up being blamed, you have a fear you're going to be blamed. If you grew up being rejected, you have a fear of being rejected. If you grew up that everything has to be perfect, then you have a fear you won't be perfect. If you grew up, everything you did was wrong, then you have a fear of, even though you might be trying to mess up or the demons will have you mess up, but you have a fear that you're going to mess up. And see, it comes in through parents not training us up in the way we should go, through negative words. Words, the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. All of us have been victims of verbal abuse in some way, and we've abused others with our mouths because what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. I grew up being rejected. My daddy had an idol of, you can't be fat. And so I started gaining weight when I was in the first grade. And I remember when I was 9 years old, my daddy said, if I had that fat, I'd cut it off. And I remember going to bed crying, and I thank God I had a nurturing mother. She got in bed, oh, your daddy didn't mean it. So I went and apologized to my dad. And I'm thankful that I always did that because I've never been mad at God. If you grew up, if you're mad at God, I can tell you you've been mad at your earthly father because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. And so I always would get it right with him. Even if he would say things and my daddy loved me and I had a good dad. But in this particular area, I grew up when I was slim, I weighed 11 pounds when I was born. So you can kind of get the picture. Oh, isn't she chubby little old thing? But anyway, when I lose weight, I'd be accepted. But when I gain weight, I would be rejected by my father. I remember one time going home after I'd lost 20 pounds. I was heavier than I am now. And he said, you need to lose weight, Jerry. And I said, well, Dad, I just lost 20 pounds. He said, you look like you weigh 300 to me. But he was real cruel in that particular area. And because of that, I grew up very self-conscious. I mean, I'm not self-conscious anymore. I mean, I've had so much deliverance. I remember when I was in college, I flunked speech because somebody back in the back was making faces at me
He was a friend of mine, but he was teasing me from behind, and my mind would just go blank. When Kyle was in the first grade, I was president of the PTA, and it was huge work. I mean, it was a couple hundred people, and I stood up in front, and my mind went blank. I couldn't think of anything I was going to say. And, you know, when you're criticized by your parents, it makes you self-conscious. It opens you up to a spirit of shame and a spirit of rejection. And, you know, our parents treat us like they were treated. You know, the sins of the fathers pass on to the children to the third and fourth generation. And, you know, three generations is about 15 forefathers, and four generations is 30 forefathers, and curses of illegitimacy, which opens you up to a spirit of rejection, and spirits of incest when family members have sex or even touch in an inappropriate way, that goes 10 generations, which is 2,046 forefathers. And if you don't break it, every day it'll loop another day. It continues on until somebody steps up in the bloodline and breaks it. But all of these things have their roots in idolatry. Why is rejection idolatry? Because it's a sin, because we don't believe what Jesus did for us at the cross. He loves us, He accepts us, He adopts us, and He said that He will send us a spirit of adoption, and He'll come to us. And when we disregard that or don't believe that, that's unbelief and doubt, which opens us up to fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. And that sin, rebellion, is as the sin of witchcraft. Yes. Rejection means to not be accepted. And I'm glad there's young people in here today hearing this. Maybe they can be spared from some of the things that I went through as a kid. Going to school, being called fatty, fatty, 2x4. If I had that fat... I mean, growing up, nobody wants to play with you if you're not cute like the other little girls. And so I know what it means and how it feels to be rejected. I can't stand to see somebody being criticized or mistreated. Because I've been there and I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to not have any friends because I don't look the way that they think I ought to look. And so I'm glad you children are hearing this, because when somebody at school makes fun of you, say, "I bind those words in the name of Jesus." Or if you can't say it, say, "I bind those words in the name of Jesus." Don't receive those curses. Don't receive. Because what happens is they speak it on you, and then you receive a lie, "I'm this way," and then you become what they say. And I encourage parents, don't say negative words to your children. My son Todd, he lied to me his whole life. Kyle, I can't remember Kyle ever lying to me in his whole life. But his little brother would constantly lie to me. And when he was just a little bitty kid, I'd say, "That kid is..." And see, I wasn't even saved. I didn't know about the power of blessings and curses. And I'd say, "That kid is the biggest liar I've ever seen." Well, guess what? He was what I said. And so when you speak negative, what happens is the demons draw that. When you speak curses on somebody or speak death on somebody, what happens is the demons are drawn to that person to carry out what you curse. But when you bless, the grace of God is imparted to carry out what you bless. So instead of saying you're the biggest liar that ever lived, you say, "You know, you told a lie and you're going to get punished for it, but you're not going to be a liar in Jesus' name." Turn it around and speak positive. You know, that was hindsight, because liars go to hell. They really do. I remember when Holly was about 3 years old and she sucked her thumb, and I'd call out there and I'd say, "Holly, are you still sucking your thumb?" "No." I said, "Holly, liars go to hell." And I said, "You're supposed to say, 'Grandmother, I'm working on it.'" Her mother said, "Yeah, she's working on it, all right." "You're supposed to say, 'Grandmother, I'm working on it.'" So the next time I called her, I said, "Holly, are you still sucking your thumb?" She said, "Grandmother, I'm working on it." So death and life are in the power of the tongue. In fact, there's an experiment where a man, and I might teach this again sometime, but he took water, and he took these glasses of water, and one glass of water, he told this water, "Oh, I love you so much. You're just wonderful. You're delicious. You're tasty. You're refreshing." The other, then he, another glass of water, he exposed to just words of hate. You're abominable. I hate you. You're terrible. And then another glass of water, he exposed to classical music with melodious music. And then another glass of water, he exposed to hard, heavy metal, rock music, rap music. And then he froze the water, and he took under a microscope the water that had been loved, spoken love to, was beautiful crystals under a microscope. The water that, where it was words of hate, it was all mangled. The crystal of water under the microscope was mangled. And then another, the water that was exposed to the melodious music was a beautiful crystal. And the water that was exposed to rock, rap music was also mangled and distorted. You know, our bodies are at least 70% water. And when we speak that, you can change the if you can change the molecules of water by the words you speak, how much more that we need to speak life to the people that we love. Say to them what you want them to be, not what you're seeing by faith. I sent someone a card the other day, and I thought, you know, these words, I am prophetically speaking. For years, I wouldn't send a card if I couldn't say, I couldn't agree with everything I sent, a birthday card. But this year, I just thought, you know, I'm going to prophetically speak for all the wonderful things you do. Anyway, rejection means to be accepted or received. It means, you know, if we speak negative words, we're rejecting. It means a setback or a negative response, a rebuff, a brush off, cold shoulder, defeat, denial. It means to be disapproval, discouragement, dismissal, refusal, repudiation. It means to be repulsed, snubbed, deliberate coldness or disregard, to put down, rebuff, rejection, a slap in the face, a slight, a cut. How many of you grew up with sarcastic, cutting words? I cannot stand that. Nobody can. I mean, that's so cruel. The Bible talks about having a vicious tongue that's like a sword. And Lord, forgive us that we've had vicious tongues like a sword. And y'all be repenting as I'm repenting, or we're repenting. Rejection means to cast from one, to throw away, to refuse, to put aside. It means a person or thing rejected as not up to some standard. You see, my daddy had an idol of outward appearance. And he had this image of what you're supposed to look like. And if you didn't look like it, you were rejected. And it was working in his own life, too. My daddy, the first thing he did in the morning was comb his hair. I never saw my daddy in all of he was 94. I never saw him with his hair not combed or his shoes not on. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so rejection means to remove from your presence, to throw off. I remember when I was a little girl, I don't know how, I was 4 or 6, and my sister and I, my daddy always favored my sister because she wasn't like him. You know, you have the hardest time with the kid most like you. You know? Because you know all their moves, and people always say, you know, you're just like your daddy. Well, just recently I realized that my daddy had a problem with me because I pushed his mother buttons. Because my mother used to say, you are just like you and your daddy are just like your grandmother Reddick. And so I just realized a couple of weeks ago, that's why Daddy had a hard time with me. I was pushing his mother buttons. Anyway, but I remember when I was a little kid, I was smaller than Jessica there, and my daddy was playing with my sister, so I was trying to play too, and I kind of got in his lap and he pushed me away. You see, that unloving spirit that was working in my daddy, because it's working in the kid most like, I mean, it's in the parent that's most like you. There's something in you that wants to push that kid away. And I've experienced that with some of my kids. It's that unloving spirit. I don't do it now, but I remember when some of them were little, there would be one particular one that I'd have a tendency to want to push away. I didn't, but I just inside, and I realized what that was, and I quit doing it. But it's an unloving spirit. And I believe all of us have this, and it's a spirit of self-rejection. Self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, self-contempt. It's an antichrist spirit. It's a spirit that works in you that tears down everything that God wants to build up. And everybody has, I believe everybody has it, because I believe it comes in through the parent most like you, because they're on you all the time. But the one I had would say fat, 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 fat. Yours may say, stupid, you're never going to amount to anything, you're no good, you're ugly, you're too short, you're too fat, you're too poor, you're too whatever. It's a spirit, it's a demon spirit that you let stay in you because you think it's you talking to you. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's a voice that talks to you and you put up with it because you think it's you. Right? It's a demon. And when I realized that was a demon talking to me and not me talking to me, I made it take a hike. And it is so peaceful not to have that thing hollering, fat, 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 fat. It's like you look in the mirror and or whatever, and then you hear that voice that nitpicks you 24/7, tears down. You never measure up. You always come up short. And that's an unloving antichrist spirit that works with self-rejection. So we'll pray for that later. And I've not met anybody that didn't have that. And so rejection communicates, disrespect me, shun me, treat me as insignificant, ignore me, disrespect me, disregard me, throw me away. That's what it communicates. Rejection works in us to set us up for people to treat us the same way we were treated. It sets us up to reject ourselves and to reject others. Rejection will have you treat yourself the way you were treated growing up. Say the same things about you. I remember how God showed me with my son that died. I'm saying, this kid is the biggest liar I've ever seen. Well, he receives a lie. This big person that I respect must be right. What they're saying must be right. So they receive that lie, and then they become what you say. Rejection causes others to distance themselves from you. God's law is fulfilled when we walk in love. In Matthew 22, it says, we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and body. And the second commandment is to love our neighbors ourselves. And in these two commandments is the whole law. So we fulfill the law in the New Testament by walking in love. And rejection is the spirit of hate, which is the opposite of love. Love covers a multitude of sins, and hate uncovers. And the Word of God tells us that God loves us, that He accepts us, that He adopts us. But rejection has an assignment to steal those truths from your heart. We all know the deep sting of rejection. The effects of agreeing with rejection can be physically and mentally debilitating. When a child is trained up in rejection, guess what? That's the way his life goes. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. You will have what you say. So start speaking blessings to your children. There's another illustration where somebody takes rice and cooks rice and puts rice in one jar and in two jars, puts rice and puts them the same distance in a cabinet, same distance apart, same temperature, and every day he speaks blessings to the one rice, telling it how delicious it is and how wonderful it is, and speaks curses on the other rice, telling it how bad it is. And at the end of 17 days, the rice that they blessed was still smelled good, was still white. The rice they cursed was black and rotten. There's the power of words. The power of words. A child that grows up in rejection will do one or two things. He will either become a performer, perfectionist, excel in an area to gain acceptance, or he'll just say, I'm bad, to heck with it. They say I'm bad, I might as well be what they say. Just to heck with it. So they'll either be a perfectionist, a performer, or they will totally just rebel and be what is said. And Jesus became rejection for us at the cross. He was rejected and despised by all men. Consequently, if we have received the spirit of rejection, we're in sin. Go to Isaiah 53, please. It says, verse 53:3. He was despised and forsaken of men, speaking of Jesus, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide themselves. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was chastened for our well-being. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourgings, we were healed. We are healed. And so when we're claiming healing, we need to claim it and stand on it. Having done all, stand. You know, to ask God for wisdom, because he gives wisdom to all those who ask. And then we have to believe that he truly will give us wisdom, and then stand until we see the manifestation of our healing. Those who hopefully wait for the Lord will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. Rejection is a sin because Deuteronomy 32 says, he guards us like he guards the pupil of our eye. His total attention is on us. Isaiah 49:16 compares God to a nursing mother. I will not forget thee. I have engraven you on the palms of my hands. Hey, that's pretty special. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made him who knew no sin to be made sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, if you're living a dirty, rotten life, don't be claiming you're the righteousness of God, because without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. So we've got to deal with our sin. Galatians 5:5 says that he's given us his Holy Spirit so we can have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. That's Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:5 says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. 2 Timothy 4:8. He has planned for me a crown of righteousness for those who pass the test. And his grace will help us pass the test. Ephesians 1:4-5. You are chosen in him before the foundations of the world and predestined us for adoption. God chose you before the foundation of the world. You didn't choose him. He chose you. And it says in John 15, he chose you that you might go and produce fruit. That's not the fruit of the flesh. It's the fruit of the Spirit as we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. Revelation 3:5 says that those who overcome, that to him that overcometh, I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Our name is in the book of life, and his grace helps us overcome. Romans 8:15. He has not received the spirit of fear leading to slavery, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry out, Abba, Father. Psalms 139. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How precious are your thoughts toward me. Isaiah 54. Thou shalt not be ashamed. He's going to give us everlasting kindness and compassion. By His, through His compassion, He'll gather us, the Word says. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with cords of kindness. 1 John 3:1, that we should be called sons of God. What a privilege to be called sons of God. You know, if you think you're worthless and the demon is telling you you're worthless, you're no good, you can't do it, hey, you have Jesus Christ, King of Kings, living in you. This Bible is worth about $25, but if it had $1 million bill in it, if there was such a thing, the Bible would be worth $1,015,000. So my point is, you're worth who you contain. Christ in you is the hope of glory. I thank God for all that He's delivered me from. I hear people say, I wish I could go back to when I was 25. Not me. I have overcome too much. I tell you, people that say that, they haven't overcome anything. Right? Because if you ever overcome one thing, you don't want to go back. My goodness, I might not make it next time. I think one girl one year told me, she said, you're kind of like Miss Job. And I thought, oh dear Lord, I've never been anything like that. I mean, my pain has been, you know, losing a son, and that's pretty painful. But at least he's in heaven, and I know he's not living a homosexual lifestyle. I'm glad he's in heaven. I really am. Had two husbands ditch me. I have to tell y'all something funny. I'm not into eHarmony.com. I'm not looking for a husband. I'm the happiest person in the whole world. But one day I got this thing from eHarmony.com. It was a test to take. So I thought that would be fun taking the test. I took the test and it was fun taking it. About 30 minutes when it was over, that thing spun around and said, I'm sorry, we can't find a match for you. Anyway, I thought it was funny. I'd be afraid I'd get a hold of Jack the Ripper if I did find somebody on the internet. But I'm telling you, there's people out there that prey on women. And women, oh listen, the women are worse than the men, some of them. I asked my grandson, who goes to the University of Texas, David, do you have a girlfriend? He said, Grandmother, you wouldn't believe the girls here in Austin, Texas. He doesn't have a girlfriend. He's looking for a girl like his sisters. You know, when you have two sisters that model what girls ought to be like, you've got pretty high standards, and I'm thankful for that. And so, let's see, where did I stop? Isaiah 54, 1 John 3:1, that we should be called sons of God. Matthew 10:30, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you, I knew you. Glory to God. Acts 17:28, we're His offspring. That ought to do something for our confidence in God and what He's done for us in Calvary. Acts 17:26, and He has determined these times before appointed and the bonds of their habitation. Jeremiah 29:11. For God knows the plans He has for you. They're for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I remember when Kyle's daddy left me when they were 8 and 12. I remember going by the girlfriend's house, and Kyle and Todd's daddy was holding this little 6-month-old baby. And I remember saying, how can you leave your two sons and be holding this baby? And of course, he told me where to go. But anyway, all day long, I cried and cried and cried and cried buckets of tears. And I was sitting in church, tears were splashing down on my Bible. And this lady reached over and she opened her Bible to Jeremiah 29:11. That God knows the plans He has for you. They're for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I went, oh God, God, you have a plan in this mess? You have a plan? And I'm telling you, I hung on to that scripture. That God has a plan for your life, nobody can destroy you. You can only destroy yourself by your wrong choices. You'll either get bitter or better. It's better to get better. I thank the Lord for that, because every day is the day of deliverance. I do self-deliverance, and that reminds me, I've got a little book I just wrote called Self-Deliverance for Believers, and I left it in the car. I'm going to bring it. Anyway, I mean, ever since I realized I could cast demons out of myself, I've been doing this since 1998. But when a problem comes up, I ask the Lord, Lord, show me what you're trying to teach me. What is the lesson in this? And I repent and I get deliverance. Give yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. And I thank the Lord for that. God, almost every day the Lord is showing me something in the generations or something that I did, something that was said to me or whatever, and I take it to the cross. Don't allow anger and fear and depression in your life. It's just idolatry. Let it go. Praise the Lord. Zephaniah 3:17, he will joy over thee with singing. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears. Psalms 27:10, when your mother and father forsake you, the Lord will take you up. Deuteronomy 32, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Rejection's a sin because it puts man's approval over God's approval. As long as God approves of you, we shouldn't care what people think. Rejection has us looking for our identity in all the wrong places, through bars, through gangs, through physical, emotional, sexual, verbal abuse, bad marriages. God leads and Satan drives. Satan's a taskmaster. Lust takes, but God's love gives. Rejection causes us to accept a counterfeit. Causes us to be a doormat. To have a victim spirit, which draws people to you to make a victim out of you, which draws people to you to reject you. You see, the spirit of rejection comes in generationally, or it comes in through how you were treated as a child. It comes in lots of ways, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. But another one is through being an illegitimate child. Your mother and daddy conceiving you when they weren't married opened you up to a root of rejection, a spirit of lust, a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of shame. And it's a very detrimental thing. The scripture says an illegitimate cannot enter the sanctuary of the Lord. Carla teaches, the King James says, the curse of a bastard, curse of illegitimacy. It's the same thing. But that goes 2,046 forefathers till it's broken. And it has such far-reaching effects upon a person. But you can get free from it. You can get free from anything with Jesus. The world can't heal you, but God can. Rejection has you desperately looking for love in all the wrong places. If I could just have a man's arm around me or a woman's arms around me, that sex is love. And what happens is, did you know about 40 or 50%, I think probably more, church members think nothing of cohabiting and shacking up with someone else, living together. You know, I sell puppies and I am just shocked as how many people tell me that their fiance or their boyfriend, they get a puppy and they're living together. 40% of people that are believers think nothing of it. 65% think nothing of drinking without limits. And 30% of people think nothing of recreational drugs. Because sin is not preached against in the church. Nowadays, if they say they give you the squeaky, greasy grace that you can just do anything all you want to, no, you can't. Galatians 5 says you can't do what you want to do. You have to give. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. These crossless messages that leave out the cross, that is not a message of God. The nature of rejection is not just an emotion or a feeling, but it's a spirit that gets its kicks out of seeing you being rejected. Did you know that the biggest majority of adolescent and teenage suicides come from kids that have been bullied at school? And you know, parents, we have to teach our kids that what other people say, just to cancel it in the name of Jesus. The nature of rejection, it makes you very sensitive. You just look through everything with a microscope. You just, it scrambles intentions and it judges facial expressions. I remember somebody said to me, the music director in the church, why Bill didn't speak to me. And I said, oh, he just didn't see you. He was busy. No, he looked right at me and he didn't speak to me. The person that said that was an illegitimate child. They were wounded in the womb through being illegitimate. So it picks things apart. It has a scrambler that twists words. People might say one thing and the demons will scramble it to... They might say, I love you, and the demons will scramble and say, she just said she hated you. It reminds us of the sins of our youth. You know, I know somebody that lived a worldly lifestyle, and I see how that works in her life today. It's like because of her past that she's really not let go of, and it's like a hidden past, the devil blackmails her that everybody's going to find out about her. And so it causes you even to not want to confront sin in someone else's life because your conscience is not clear. That's why we enable if we don't have a clear conscience. Because if you really love people, you would not enable them. Can't be thankful. Don't see a whole lot of things that are good. Have rejection of others. You're thin-skinned. It's all about me. Touchy. Hypersensitive. Can make you feel overwhelmed with things that are wrong with you. Hey, whatever is wrong, deal with the wrong thing and then say, okay, Lord, what's the next wrong thing you want to deal with? And then what's the next thing? You know, you can get overwhelmed when you look at your life and you think, oh, dear Lord, what a mess. Don't let things pile up. Whatever the problem is, okay, God, how do I deal with this? I ask for the wisdom that your word gives in James. If I ask wisdom, you'll give it to me. And so, Lord, I ask you to show me how to deal with this thing. Then deal with it, and it's gone, and then the Lord will show you something else. And that's a part of the sanctification process. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's how you do it. We don't just let things pile up on us because then we become overcome. It makes you hard. It makes it hard for a person that's rejected to receive love and believe compliments. I remember one day I was driving along with my dad and I said, Dad, you know, if I could say one thing, and I had a good dad other than this fat thing. I mean, he was unmerciful when it came to fat. Cruel. But I had a good dad otherwise. And I remember saying to him, we were driving along one day, and I said, Dad, you know, if I could say one thing about you, you know what it would be? He said, sorry, good for nothing. See, that's how he felt about himself. There was that unloving spirit working in him. And he wasn't sorry and good for nothing. I said, no, Dad, you're faithful. You're a faithful dad. And he was. This thing keeps you from hearing others and them hearing you. It wants you to stay hurt, which leads to bitterness. And how you respond to life's circumstances will determine if you're going to be bitter or better. If you take it to God and say, Lord, how do I deal with this? Deal with it, get over it, let it go. It'll conform you into the image of Christ. But if you don't do that, you'll get bitter. It'll keep you accused and always coming up short, guilty. Will not allow you to be comforted. And he's our comforting. And where did rejection come from? Isaiah 14, it says, how you're fallen, O Lucifer, star of the morning. You've weakened the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend, I will sit, I will raise my throne above the stars of heaven. I will be like the Most High. And God kicked him out of heaven. Rejected. Ultimate rejection. When God says you shall be brought down, Lucifer, down to hell, that is rejection. And so because of that, he sent him a spirit of rejection into the world to reject us. Rejection says God didn't really mean that. He really doesn't love you. That woman over there, she really doesn't like you because she's got a frown on her face. She doesn't smile at you. My best friend, they don't call me anymore. Or they must not like me anymore. My family, they don't really love me. You see, that's one thing. If you train up a child in the way it should go with love, I have never felt unloved a day in my life. My mother and daddy loved me. But if I was trained up not to be loved, no matter what you could tell, in fact, some of you are the same way. No matter who tells you how much they love you, you don't believe it. My husband was an illegitimately conceived child, and he was wounded in the womb, never knew his father, and no matter how much I told him I loved him, he never believed me. The spirit of rejection will come to you and tell you that you're unacceptable, you're worthless, you're no good, no one's going to ever want you, you'll never belong, you'll never have friends, you'll never be a success, you can't learn, you're stupid. Or you're ugly, or you're fat, or you're too tall, or you're too sharp. It will communicate this message several ways. Through a disgusted look. Have you ever gotten one of those disgusted looks? My mother never spanked me, but boy, I'm telling you, she could give me those disgusted looks. And I'd rather have a spanking. An impatient answer. Disdain. A snub. Through neglect, through abandonment, through giving you the silent treatment. How many of you know people who'd say, well, have I done something to offend you? Oh, no. But yet you feel the wall. You ever had that happen? Or just give you the silent treatment. I'd rather you tell me where to go than say, tell me there's nothing wrong, because I want to deal with it. If I've done something to offend you, I want to know what it is so I can tell you I'm sorry and make things right. Through abandonment, through silence, through being treated with coldness, disinterest, not being listened to, being ignored, through words. And words can cause us pain, as we know. Words are like arrows that are stuck in us. I remember a girl, a friend of Carla's, at one seminar, and she said, I have a pain back here in my seat. And I said, remember it, Carla? I said, have you ever been called a pain in the behind? She said, oh, yeah, my whole life. I said, I pulled that arrow out. She went, wow, I felt that. Because, see, they're arrows that stick in the spirit realm. Not physical arrows, but they're spiritual arrows. Some of you have heard in the womb that you were not wanted, that you were the wrong sex, that you're a mistake. See, this is one of the main roots to homosexuality, is to say, boy, this is going to be a boy. Or this is going to be a girl. And I think these sonograms are so demonic, because it's invading a private part. It's a hidden part, God said. And modern medicine is invading that. And there's been times when they said it was a boy and it really wasn't. It was a girl. My son, a month before he died, he said, Mom, I've always felt like I was a girl. When I was pregnant, his daddy was a All-American football player, and he would say, if it's a boy, he'll probably be a sissy. And so I remember when I had him, it was like when they told me I had a boy, my heart sank because I wanted a girl. I don't remember ever saying that, but that confuses the child's identity, because my son said, Mom, my whole life I felt like a girl. That's what he said on his deathbed. If you've ever felt rejection, I know you have, we all have, but God wants to heal it. It's a spirit. It's an evil spirit. So how do you get this spirit? Here's some possible doorways. The word spoken, and I say that is a doorway. Generationally, rejection comes down generationally. I know a spirit of rejection was on my dad. For him to feel like he was sorry, good for nothing, there was a spirit of rejection on him coming down through the forefathers. And see, that came from an illegitimate curse back in the generations, an illegitimate incestuous curse that came down the bloodline. It can be from the womb, because babies can hear in the womb. Babies being born too close together. You might adore the baby after he got here, but the damage is done when you think, oh no, I'm pregnant again. Unwanted pregnancy, an illegitimate child. You know, the sanctuary of the Lord is a spiritual place. It's more real than this building we're in. But you can have that illegitimate curse broken and be brought into the sanctuary of the Lord. Maybe the rejection came in through being left with babysitters in daycare centers. It happens the way a mother and father interact with the child. Parents believe the child should be a different sex. Any childhood or adult trauma not brought to the cross. What happens is we have till sundown to deal with things, and if we don't deal with it by sundown, we turn to something else. If I don't turn to God in my pain, I turn to a false god, and that sets in motion forces that keep me to keep on reaping the same old thing that I judged my parents for. God says, honor your father and mother that all may be well with you. So in any area your life is not going well, you can trace it back to the violation of that scripture, not honoring your mother and father. Honor doesn't mean you have to like them and support their drug habit, live with them, but it means you forgive them by sundown for their poor stewardship. And in every instance where they violated the word of God, you have an anger issue. It maybe hadn't surfaced yet, because the scripture says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So that's the reason for all these button pushers we have. And when you have a button pusher, Lord, why that made me so mad? And deal with it. Forgive whoever wounded you in that area. Adopted children, they come with all the demons of their mother and father, and they come with the spirit of abandonment. Through betrayal, abandonment, divorce, the child almost always thinks it's his fault. Blended families, my kids and your kids, and we're all trying to live together, and it's one big fight. Naturally, I love my kids more than you love your... I love my kids more than you love them, and you love your kids more than I love them. And that causes problems. Competing for a parent's affection. You know, there's daddies that molest their children, and the mothers are jealous of the relationship. And they'll blame the daughter when she comes and says, my daddy molested me, because of her own insecurities. She'll blame the daughter rather than take a hammer to the man. Excuse me. Or see him in his feet in a tub and throw him in the ocean. You know, it's a good thing we're not God, right? No mercy for that. But God says, blessed are the merciful, for we should obtain mercy. And thank God we're not God. Growing up, I know one precious lady, her daddy, and this is the ultimate rejection, is for your daddy, when your daddy sexually molests you, but he used her like he would use his wife her whole life. And she said she had a problem with asthma. And so I asked her how she grew up, and she told me how she grew up. And when I led her to forgive her father for molesting her, she said, I can breathe. I can breathe. It was like he was in the spirit realm. He was still on top of her. And we cut him off through breaking soul ties, and she was healed of allergy and asthma. Not allergy. She was healed of asthma. Parents competing with the child. I ministered to a man that was from Little Rock some years back, and his daddy grew up in an orphanage, and so then he got married and had my friend. And because of his own insecurities, he would compete with this boy when he was 2 years old. He'd play games with the son, but he always had to win. And because of that, my friend always felt defeated. His daddy trained him up to lose. Through loving conditionally, through loving your kids based on their performance, conditional love, perfectionism in the parent. You know what opens you up to procrastination? As you're growing up, your parents won't let you make a mistake. You start to do this or that. They say, I don't do it that way. Do it this way. So then they have a fear. There's a fear of going ahead. because you have a fear you're going to make mistakes, so you procrastinate. Death of a parent, being a middle child, you're not the oldest, you're not the youngest. You're too little to do what the big one does, and you're too big to do what the little one does. Death of a parent, or a parent's leave. Rejection in school, rejection by your teachers. You're picked last. I like what Monty Mulkey said, they always picked him last because he was a little one. The last shall be first. And hurts in the church. And so the fruit of rejection is, some of the fruits of rejection is pain. There's mental pain, emotional pain, physical pain. The Bible says remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body, or grief or sorrow from your heart and put pain out of your body. And that word sorrow, or in New American Standard it says vexation, King James I think says sorrow. And you can remove pain from your body. There's emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain, sexual pain. Remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. Hurt and pain, woundedness, lots of button pushers, feelings of inferiority, which causes you to compromise, be double-minded, feeling you're not fit or you're a misfit. Another fruit is anger. We reject back at rejection. If someone doesn't like me, I reject them. I put a wall up against them. Cancer. Fear comes in when we don't feel safe or nurtured. If someone doesn't like me, you know, I'll wall up my heart and I won't be hurt again. And fear of rejection, a broken heart comes in, defense mechanisms, self-protection, fear of man, fear of being vulnerable, always looking for approval, fear of failure, fear of not doing everything right, fear of not being perfect, fear of not being good, fear of saying no, and I become a doormat, and then I'm bitter because I couldn't say no, I'm mad at you because I did it, but I don't have the courage to tell you, no, I can't. Unloving spirit, we already talked about that. Addictions, at the root of addictions is pain. Pain has to be dealt with. Pride, self-idolatry, desperate search for love, rebellion, depression. And then most people go to the world and they give them drugs that open them up to suicide. Most people my age don't know what town they're in. They're so medicated. I know people that their tongue is so thick they can hardly even talk to you because they're so medicated. Every drug has a side effect that's another disease. And this is not to tell you, I'm not telling you to get off of it, but I'm telling you as you get delivered, you won't need it. I don't have a doctor, and I'm on no medication. Recently I got sick and looked for an aspirin or an Advil, and it expired in 2000. And when I got sick for a week, I slept it off, and I never took one antibiotic. I mean, I was totally healed in 7 days. Not an attack by the devil. God allowed the devil's attack to give me a spiritual house cleaning. Thankful. As I laid there, Lord, what are you trying to show me through this? He showed me plenty. Came out of that, delivered of 5 things not even related to me being sick. Delivered from caffeine totally, had no desire for caffeine. I drink decaf. But I was healed of indigestion. I was healed of heart palpitations or heart doing funny things. My body would get cramps in my feet. I'd get cramps all over my body. That was 3 things. If I ate the least bit of food, it'd make me sleepy. That doesn't happen anymore unless I overeat. I used to tell Carlos, something's wrong with me. I need the least little thing to go to sleep. But when I looked up on the internet the effect of caffeine on your adrenal glands, all 5 of those were symptoms of caffeine, and God had to let me sleep around the clock where I didn't need to drink caffeine to get my work done. And I was totally set free. Had no desire for it. Had more energy than I've ever had in my life. I feel better than I've ever felt in my whole life. Amen. Okay, and so how do we get free of this rejection? Well, one thing, you need to take it up the mountain like Abraham did Isaac. Lord, if it'll bring you greater glory and honor for everybody in the world to reject me, so be it. The devil, you can't reject me. Let it go. Give up your life that you might find it. Recognize it through recognizing it through discernment. And then you can't get out the spirit of rejection without knowing the love of God. Receive the Father God's love. Loving yourself and loving others. The real or perceived rejection by others should not sting as you are complete with the love you have from God the Father. Long as you have God's approval, that's the only approval you need. And Lord, we pray for all these young people that when they go back to school, that you will put the shield of faith over them to quench all the fiery darts coming against them from bullies. We break the power of that bully spirit in Jesus' name. And Lord, pray with me. Lord, I forgive every person that's ever bullied me. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Okay, stand up and let's ask the Lord to show you where rejection came into your life. And I always deal with generational stuff because you know it come down the generations. If your parents rejected you, you know they were rejected. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth, Lord, that sets me free. Where did the spirit of rejection enter me? And then just deal with whatever the Lord shows you and then sit down when you're through. And then we'll do group deliverance. Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my mother and father and my forefathers for rejecting their children, rejecting my mother and father. And I forgive my mother and father for rejecting me. And Lord, forgive me for rejecting my children. Forgive me for speaking negative words over them. Lord, I pull out all those demonic arrows I put in my children. And I bless my children from this day forward, Lord, if you'll just remind me. Let me tell you, if you slip, immediately apologize to your child. Because that breaks, you know, Kyle, I apologize so much, I'll say, Kyle, did I ask you to forgive me for that? He'll say about 50 times, Mom. It makes them feel sorry for you. I'm serious. Because there's not any issues because I'm constantly, I see things that he don't even see. Would you forgive me for doing this to you? And he hadn't even, well, I don't remember that. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit remembers. So Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for fear that entered me. I forgive, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of not being loved, fear of saying no, fear of making decisions, procrastination, fear of confrontation. Forgive me for fear of being misunderstood, fear of being blamed, fear of not being perfect, fear of being ridiculed, and a multitude, Lord, of all these fears. You see, Abraham took Isaac up the mountain and he was going to kill him. And the Lord said, no, Abraham, no, I know we fear God. And so when we take our fears up the mountain, God says, this is the confidence you can have toward him, that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if he hears you, you already have what you asked for. So you can say, Lord, I bring that to you. I take it up the mountain. All this rejection, if it glorify you the most, Lord, for everybody in the world to reject me, then so be it. But devil, you can't do it. You can't cause it. You see, God's going to answer that prayer. He's going to be glorified. You can accept it. And because when you do that, you're saying, Lord, you know what I need, when I need it, if I need it, when to give it. And that's the perfect love that casts out fear. In the name of Jesus. So Lord, I bring all of my rejection. rejection. Don't pray it unless you can really mean it. I take all this stuff up the mountain, and it's going to bring you greater glory and honor for everybody to keep on treating me the rotten way they've been treating me, then so be it. But devil, you are bound in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, I release over them perfect love. I forgive every person for throwing me away, disrespecting me. Pray with me. I forgive every person who disrespected me, shunned me, treated me as insignificant, disregarded me, and threw me away. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I forgive myself.
Aren't we supposed to be doing this with you?
Yes.
Can you slow down a little bit? I can't speak that fast.
Well, thank you. No. Okay. Boy, the Lord's done a work in her, hasn't he?
Yeah.
We love you.
Yeah.
Do you feel our love? Hey, that's you. We love you. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you that you guide me, that you guard me as the apple of your eye. You've engraven me on the palms of your hands. I am the righteousness of God because of the blood you shed. I have a hope of righteousness by faith. You're going to give me a crown of righteousness. Because your grace is going to help me pass the test. Lord, thank you that you chose me before the foundation of the world. Thank you that you're going to, by your grace, I'm going to be an overcomer. Lord, I receive your spirit of adoption. Thank you, Lord, that I'm a son and daughter of yours. I'm precious in your sight. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I'm a son of God. You love me with an everlasting love. And you've drawn me with cords of kindness. Lord, thank you that every hair on my head is numbered. Lord, I thank you that every cell of my body I put under your control. Thank you that I'm your offspring. Thank you, Lord, that I'm your dwelling place. And you know the plans you have for me, Lord. They're for good and not for evil. And you joy over me with singing. And Lord, you will wipe away all my tears one day. And Lord, when my mother and father, because they've forsaken me, you'll take me up. I ask you to take them up, Lord. Right now, Lord, take them up. Forgive me for being more concerned about what people think than what you think, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for sexual sin. In fact, stand up right now, if you will, and I want us to repent of sexual sin. Between you and the Lord, every person you've ever been involved with, any pornography you've ever looked at, any sexual sin you've ever been involved with, I want you to go one by one, far back as you can remember, and repent of everything you did with each person, name them each individually, and sit down when you're through, because we're going to break soul ties with people you've sinned with. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for everything I did to these people you've shown me. And I forgive them for anything they did to me. Lord, I forgive relatives and blood relatives for molesting me if they did. Or anyone that raped me, I forgive them. I break soul ties with every person you've shown me, Lord. I break their yokes off my neck. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut these people from every person in this room. I cut their body parts, their mouths, their hands, their private parts. I cut it loose from every person in this room in Jesus' name. And every demon power, familiar spirit, all the demons, addictions, perversion that came in has to go now in Jesus' name. I break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over pornography. I break it. I break all sex hooks. I cut them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for, I forgive everybody that's looked at me in a wrong way or treated me, mistreated me. Every person you show me, Lord, I truly forgive in the name of Jesus. And Lord, forgive me, pray with me. Forgive me for hating myself, rejecting myself, having self-contempt. Lord, forgive me for having self-condemnation. Forgive me for listening to this lying demon that nitpicks me 24/7. Forgive me for listening to this unloving spirit that, Lord, I thought it was me talking to me. And I renounce him, and I tell you to get out of my body. This day, Lord, I choose to forgive myself. I choose to accept myself. I choose to repent of my bitterness toward myself and my depression in the name of Jesus. Now, you unloving Antichrist spirit, I command you out. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of an unloving Antichrist spirit. Come out. That demon that nitpicks them, that they think it's them, get out now in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Lord, if I was conceived illegitimately, pray with me. I forgive my mother and father and my forefathers. And Lord, I break the curse of incest, the curse of a bastard, the curse of illegitimacy, all the way back to Adam and Eve. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses. In Jesus' name, I break soul ties with all my forefathers. Lord, I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. And I command every demon that came in through illegitimacy or through incest, through sex with relatives, bloodline people, I just command all the demons to go in Jesus' name. We put all that under the blood of Jesus. We break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And Lord, you said that an illegitimate cannot enter the sanctuary of the Lord. I bring them in to the sanctuary of the Lord in Jesus' name. That's a spiritual place. And I forgive my parents for not wanting me, leaving me. Pray with me. I forgive my parents for not wanting me, leaving me with sitters and daycare centers. I forgive my mother and father for not talking to me, not interacting with me. I forgive them for wanting a different sex than what I was. I forgive them for giving me away, throwing me away, abandoning me. Everybody be praying. I forgive them for betrayal, divorce, blended families. I forgive my parents for competing for, I forgive them that I had to compete for my parents had to compete for affection. Lord, I forgive them that I never knew my daddy, never knew my mother. They were gone, absent, if they were. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I forgive them for training, provoking me to anger. I forgive my parents for loving me based on my performance, conditional love. I forgive my parents for being perfectionistic and expecting me to be perfect and I wasn't perfect. I forgive them for overprotecting me and controlling me. Lord, I forgive them that I wasn't the youngest, I wasn't the oldest, I was the rejected child. I forgive them, Lord, for dying, for leaving. I forgive my teachers and my classmates for rejecting me, for bullying me, for picking on me, picking me last. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I forgive every person that's hurt me in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for fear, anger and bitterness, addictions, pain, self-idolatry. Lord, looking for love in all the wrong places. Lord, you're the lover. You're the one that loves me perfectly. Lord, I'll never meet a human that will love me like you do. Forgive me for rebellion and depression in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you to give me a revelation of your great love. And Lord, I loose on them the ability to see themselves the way God sees them with His perception. Lord, I loose on them the ability to have God's view, and that I loose on them ability to love their self with your kind of love, Lord, with a healthy love, not a self-centered love, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just forgive every person that's ever hurt us, rejected us. Lord, we thank you that you will never leave us, fail us, or forsake us. You're a perfect God. And Lord, we just break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of a root of rejection. I command the spirit of rejection to go, the principality of rejection, you bind, I bind the strong man. I command you to go, spirits of rebellion, spirits of depression. I command in the name of Jesus every spirit that came in through everything that they have confessed, every lie, every lying spirit that sex is love. I break the power of self-idolatry, pride, addictions, unloving spirits, self-rejection, self-hate, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self. You have to go in Jesus' name. I break the power of hurt, pain, all spirits of inferiority, all spirits that tell them they're worthless, all lying spirits, all spirits that tell them they're a failure, no good, won't amount to anything, can't learn. That's a lie. Get out in Jesus' name. I break the power of every spirit that tells them they don't fit in anywhere. That is a lie. They're in the body of Christ. I break the power of inferiority. I break the power of rejection. I break the power of retaliation. I tear down every wall that's been put up to keep people from hurting them. In Jesus' name, Lord, we put the shield of faith over that. I break the power of all fear, a broken heart. In Jesus' name, fear of rejection. Lord, I bind up their broken hearts. I give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, that they may be an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. I plant them out, I press them out, I bend them. I soak them with oil, and Lord, for their shame, I ask you to give them a double portion, that each one will be a royal diadem in your hand, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty serve. Bless you, Lord. Fill me, Lord, with love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to bless the food. Lord, I ask you to purify it and sanctify it and consecrate it to our bodies. Thank you for every person that's pouring out their life in the kitchen. Thank you for Rick. Lord, we pray a special blessing upon Rick and for the way he serves and cooks for us. Thank you for him, Lord. I ask you to meet the needs of every heart, Lord. I ask you that from this day forward, we'll look for your approval and not the approval of man. I command that approval of man has to go in Jesus' name. If we're going to follow God, we cannot have the approval of man. It don't even fit. Well, bless you. Thank you for letting me be here.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.